Amazing day last Sunday was, and the thought, the word that Shane brought to us last week. Who remembers the key word? Say it out loud for me. Splatter. I think we've got it up on the screen right now. There it is. Shane gave an altar call at the end of the service for people to respond and make a response to the Word of God, which is what we should always do. We should always respond to the Word of God. The thought was, in that Greek word, it's talking about opening up the bowels of your compassion. And the thought that he had throughout the sermon was, the one thing, everyone say one thing? The one thing that we will be known for as the church of Jesus Christ is not the political stand that we take, not the theological stand that we take on our little pet doctrines and thoughts that we have, not the protests that we want to make necessarily at different stages, but the one thing that the church will be known for is what? Doing good. Doing good. Doing good things. Doing good. Loving one another as Christ has loved us. It's a powerful thought, significant thought. And Shane asked us all to lean in, get involved. Get involved in building your church. Get involved in serving God. And the thought was, text Splatchner, however you say that thing, text that to that phone number, and one of our team will follow up if you want to get involved in just helping build church, serving on a team somewhere. Throughout this COVID season, one of the things that really did get quite significantly affected was teams in church life in terms of serving. So we got a lot less people doing a whole lot more, which is not a good deal. We want more people so that the people that are doing it can do a little bit less. That's what we want. And so if you could get on board, get involved, please text Splatchner to that number as soon as possible. One of our team will make contact with you. Everyone say good things. Good things. Anyone in the room want to believe, need to believe, or need some good things to happen in their world? Come on. Anyone need that? I think we all do. We all need God to be doing good things. And I'm just doing a short two-part series on that thought. Today is part two, concluding the thought of the good things that God wants to do in our lives. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 22. He said, the eye. So he's speaking about the way we see things, our vision, what we let into our soul. And he's making this statement in the middle of a moment, a context where he's speaking about money and he's speaking about giving. And he says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, your eyes let vision in to your mind, which processes that vision into thought. Thought gets processed into behavior and actions and habits, and it ultimately develops and designs who we are. And so Jesus is saying the eye is really important because it's the lamp for your entire body. And so the thought is, look after your eyes. Look after your eyes, because if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You know, the truth is we all have eyes. Look at the neighbor next to you. In fact, you're looking at them. We all have eyes. We all have eyes to see, listen to this, some things, but not other things. We see some things, but not other things. Do you have anyone in your world that notices things that you don't notice? You know, they just see things a little bit differently. They'll walk into a room and they'll notice things. Like some people walk into a room and notice the mess. And they start picking up papers. They want to get the vacuum cleaner out. They want to straighten the chairs. They want the mess fixed up. Whereas others can walk into a room and the mess is not even there. It's like they don't even notice. It just walks straight past it. They're called teenagers. They walk straight past it. They don't notice what's going on around them, because although we have eyes, not all of us have eyes to see the same things. It's like men. When men go to the kitchen cupboard, when I go, let's go there. Let's not make it about men. Let's make it about Tony, because it's not really true of all men. It's true of some men. It's true of Tony. When Tony goes to the cupboard and opens up the cupboard, I don't see food. Like when I go to the cupboard and I open up the cupboard or I open up the fridge, the first thing I say is, there's nothing to eat. there's no food here. Because I'm not a chef. Like, I'm not a cook. I can cook a steak. I can cook some eggs. I can do spaghetti bolognese. I can do a toasty. I can do a few basic things is what I can do. But if you're a chef, when you go to a cupboard and you open a cupboard up or you open a fridge up, you see food. Whereas when you're not a chef, you just see ingredients. And ingredients are not food. It's not food. But if you're a chef, you see food. You see what you can make. You see what you can do. I open up the cupboard and I go, somebody say KFC. Like, I can't see food. If it doesn't fall out into my hand, it's just the way that I'm designed, with the way my eyes see. And it's not that I don't have eyes. It's just I'm not trained. Everyone say trained. I'm not trained, or to use a word we don't like, I'm not programmed. I'm not programmed to see food. I'm programmed to see, I just see ingredients that need to come together and need someone to be able to do their things. You see, what we don't see is not because we're incapable of seeing. It's not because we're incapable of seeing it. It's just we're not trained to see it. It's just we're not skilled at seeing it. It's just we're not thinking about seeing it. It's that we're not programmed to see it. And so in terms of good things, if you're not trained to see good things, you won't see good things. If you're not focused on seeing good things, you won't see good things. If you have not redesigned your mind to look for good things, to look for the good, to see the good, and to say the good, then you're going to be surrounded by good and you're not even going to realize it. Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, he says, but if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So he talks about good eyes, he talks about bad eyes. If you've got good eyes, you'll be full of light. If you've got unhealthy eyes or bad eyes, then that darkness will be so deep and it will be so dark in every one of us. You know, the choice that we have is either to be full of light or to be full of darkness. Can I commend to you today and encourage you today to be full of light and to be full of seeing good things rather than full of darkness and seeing bad things? Nothing good comes from being a negative Nanny. Nothing good comes from being negative Nigel. Nothing good comes from being dark Denny. Nothing good comes from being dark Daryl. Nothing good comes from being dark and being negative. But a whole lot of good comes from when we start seeing good things in people, in our world, and in our community. And it's all determined by how we've trained our mind and our eyes to see. You see, we don't often see the blessings that we have because they come disguised in the ordinary and in the mundane. the ordinary daily moments of life. And I think what we need to do, particularly in this day and age, is intentionally begin to see things as good in those ordinary moments. For instance, we've got the blessing of family. If you've got family around your world, you are tremendously blessed today. If you've got friends in your world, you are blessed beyond measure. If you've got friends in your world, if you get the blessing of relationships, how rich is your world? How rich is your life? If you've got health, if you've got health today, you're a blessed person. If you've got health today, if you've got a job, if you work, if you've got a career, if you've got a business, you are blessed today. Anyone in the room blessed so far? Come on, you are blessed today if you've got those things. If you've got money, if you've got resource, if you've got wealth today, you are blessed. If you've got a home today that you get to live in, you are tremendously and significantly blessed. If you belong to a church family, if you found forgiveness of sins and the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, then you are blessed today. If we're blessed all around ourselves, all around our lives. We are surrounded by blessing, and I want to show you where that blessing comes from. James says this in James 1:17. He says, every good thing, not just some good things, every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and the sustainer of the heavens. in whom there is no variation, there's no rising or setting, there's no shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and he never changes. I love that about God. He's the never-changing God. He does good things. He only ever does good things. He only ever will do good things. Do you know the prophet Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, he declared this, that God has made a covenant with his people to never cease doing good things for them. God has made a covenant with his people to never cease doing good things for them. So God's got good things in store for every single one of us. When we start to see everything good as coming from God, we start to recognize God in places that we didn't see him before. When we start to recognize every good thing in our life, every good gift that comes into our world as coming from God, we start to see God where we didn't see him before. When we start to see good, what we see is we see the work of God. When I see you doing good, I see you doing the work of God. I see you being godly. People want to know how to be godly? Do good. Do good. Do good things for people around your world, because every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. You know, the good and perfect gift in your gifts in your life, they don't come from nowhere. It's not luck. It's not random. It's by design. It's from heaven. It's a gift from God into your world, into your heart and your life. They are heaven sent. And the truth is this. The truth is, the more we see them, the more we notice the good, the more we talk about the good, the more we celebrate the blessings of God in our lives, then the more blessings we will see. There's an old song we used to sing in church, count your blessings, count them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you actually sit down to count how good God has been to you, you are amazed at how good God is to you in the good things that he does. I mentioned a few weeks ago when I started this series about that little thing in our brain called the reticular activator system, our RAS system. You can look it up. You can Google it when you get home and learn all about the reticular activator system. It's a little thing that exists. It's about the size of your pinky, and it's at the stem of your brain. And it's a whole bundle of nerves that sit between your spine and your brain. And what scientists tell us, neurologists tell us, is it's like a filter, and it filters information to your brain, because if it didn't, you'd just get overloaded with information. So what this little activator does is it activates all of the information that it thinks you want to know. So it filters out stuff it thinks isn't important. So in other words, it stops you from seeing things that are there, right? It conditions you not to see things, and it conditions you to see certain things. And this system, it's kind of like on social media with algorithms. When you go on social media and you're on Facebook or something like that, and you're posting, or even if you're just talking at home, you mention something, it'll all of a sudden appear in your Facebook feeds, because the algorithms design what they think you want to see, what they think you want to buy, what they think you would be interested in. This is what the reticular activator system does. And so as you make a conscious decision to be someone that sees the good and sees the positive and sees the good godly gifts of God in your life, you'll see more of them, because this is what the reticular activator does. It presents them to you. It's like when you buy a red car. Have you ever noticed when you buy a red car, it's like everybody owns a red car? Wherever you go, you see red cars. Or if you buy a brand new Hyundai Getz. You buy a brand new Hyundai Getz and you get that thing on the road, you never noticed them before you bought them. But you get it on the road, everybody's got them. They're everywhere. You go out into the car park, all you see is a Hyundai Getz. You get a Hyundai Getz. They're everywhere, because your activator is activating that filter to filter that information and to present it to you. That's why we get fooled. We get fooled by this little system in our base of our brain, because it can sometimes stop us from seeing what is obviously there. And I've met many believers that couldn't see what's right in front of them in terms of the blessing and the goodness and the favor of God because of the way they see things. It's like me.
oh, you look so much better now. See, when I look at you like this, it's just a little bit, it's a little bit blurry. But I put these on and wow, it lights up. I can see you perfectly now. I can see clearly now. And it's what happens in terms of sight. And this is what Jesus is talking about in terms of good sight. So we need to learn to notice good things more, to celebrate good things, celebrate the good that you have, to compliment it, to cheer on the blessings. And what happens is we start to notice more blessings. My first big thought for us today is this, is what we magnify is magnified. It's a deep thought, I know. What we magnify is magnified. What we magnify in our life is magnified. And this thing that God has placed at the base of our brain, it makes sure that it's magnified for us. It's presented for us. It's promoted to us because it thinks that that's what we want to hear. You know, the good news is we get to magnify what we want to magnify. We get to magnify what we want to magnify. Those who promote the good are not denying the fact that it's a broken world that we live in. It's a hurtful world that we live in and that life is hard. They're not denying that. They've just chosen to focus on the God is good part. Whereas those that promote the life is hard part above the God is good, they've chosen the opposite side. And we've got to choose what our eyes see and whether our eyes will be good or whether our eyes will be unhealthy. Because the truth is, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, life is hard. But the coexistent truth is God is good. And neither of those truths cancel each other out. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean life will be easy. It doesn't mean life will be easy. Sometimes believers are surprised by that. They think that because they become a Christian, they think that because they become a disciple and a follower of God and come to church and honor God and tithe and give and do all these things, that life will be easy. There's no promise that life will be easy. Life always has the hardness aspect to it, but it's balanced by the power and the thought and the belief and the value that we have that God is good. God is good at the same time. You see, I get to choose which message I'm going to preach. So do you. Whether we preach the message of God is good or whether we preach the message of life is hard. And I fully choose to embrace, engage with, and preach the God is good message. Any friends in the room today? I want to be a good finder today. I want to see the good in you. I want you to see the good in me. I want us to see the good in life. I want us to see the good in opportunities, in possibilities, in the things that God could do and is doing in our world. So I boldly encourage you today to be anchored in hope and expectation that God is good and God only does good things. And don't let anything move you off that. Don't let discouragement move you off that. Don't let problems move you off that. Don't let hardships move you off that. Don't let any other negative person move you off that. Don't let a season or a circumstance move you from that. Don't let bad theology and understanding of the scriptures move you off that. I've met people time and time again that have just got bad theology when it comes around this area of their walk with God, and it messes them up. It causes them not to see, like when I go to the fridge and they open it up and their thought is, there's no blessing here for me. Whereas it's full of blessings. It's just we haven't worked out how to put it together, put the pieces of the puzzle together. Some people live out of law rather than grace. And Cheryl was talking about grace around the thought of communion today. And it's a powerful thought, the thought of grace. Some people live more out of the law side of the equation. And there's a truth that there is both law and grace. And here's my question and my thought to always determine whether I'm living more out of grace or law. I'm living out of grace when I celebrate people being set free, when I celebrate people forgiven. I'm living out of law when I get upset when I see grace given. That's what I'm living out of law. And it's a good thing to ask yourself, which camp am I going to live out of? Am I going to live out of the negative or am I going to live out of the positive? Don't let someone else's bad experience move you in terms of believing for good things. Don't let someone else's offense move you, or don't let your own offense move you out of believing God for good things, because God wants to give and bring
good things into every one of our lives. You know, a good life, like a good book, is made up of many chapters. Many chapters. And the truth is, the chapter of your life right now, it mightn't be in the best place. It mightn't be in the best reading space right now. You might have got a bad medical report. You might be going through an emotionally difficult time relationally in this season. And maybe you're not happy where you work or the job or career or business opportunity that you have, and you can't seem to find the right fit. But as difficult as the chapter might be, it doesn't have to define who you are. It doesn't define the story of your life. You know, the chapter is much different to the story. A chapter is a small part of the story. And we've all got chapters we'd rather that we didn't go through. And the truth is, a chapter is a chapter. A chapter is not the story. It's not the story. It's just a chapter. Romans 8:28 says that God works all things for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So in other words, even the painful, even the ugly, even the regretful, whatever the season was, God can work to bring good out of every moment, out of every season that we find ourselves in. So a chapter is just a chapter. It's not the story. Don't ever give a difficult season more power than it should have. Don't give it more power. People do this all the time. They give more power to a chapter in their life than they should give. Don't advertise your story by embracing a chapter as being, this is the story of my life. No, it's not. It's a chapter that you went through. It's a detour that you had. It's a moment that happened in time. It's not the story of your life. The thing about chapters is we don't get to decide all the chapters of our life, but you can decide how you frame them. This is important for all of us to capture today. We don't get to decide all the chapters, but we do get to frame the story. Like, you didn't get to decide who your family was. You had no say in that at all. You didn't get to choose your parents at all. That's predetermined for us by God. That just happens. No choice in terms of that. You don't get to choose what neighborhood you grow up in or what school you go to. You didn't get to pick your siblings or your cousins or your relatives or your classmates. You don't get to control what other people do or what other people say. You don't pick which problems you'll have or experiences in life that will come your way. You don't decide who will stay and you don't decide who will go in terms of your life. There's these little moments that happen, these little chapters that are beyond our control that we've got to work out. They're like the plot of the story, and our response to the plot is to have the chance to frame it in a way that God can bring good out of it. To see it in a way with our good eyes, even a bad circumstance, how God can bring good out of the injustice, how God can bring good out of the circumstance and the situation. For instance, what's the most terrible and toughest thing that could ever happen to you? What is the toughest thing that has ever happened to you from your past or even your present? And I want to ask you, is it too much to think and too much to imagine that God could use the toughest stuff in your life to make you a better person and to bring good out of it? That God could take the toughest stuff, the stuff you really didn't want to go through, but you found yourself in, that God could take that, if you see it properly and you frame it properly, that he could take it and make something good come out of that. There's a man in the Bible called Joseph. And just quickly, his story was that he was sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt because they were jealous of him, because he was kind of like daddy's favorite boy, and he got the Bible says the favored colored jacket, and the brothers didn't like him at all, and he had dreams of being like a leader and famous and on a stage somewhere, and his brothers didn't like that, and so they wanted to bring him down a level or two like brothers do, and they determined to do this, so they beat him up. They put him in a pit. They sold him off into slavery. But God managed to bring good out of that bad moment. And God, when he went to Egypt, made a pathway for him to get
to the palace. And he became the second most influential person in all of Egypt. And in that moment, while he was there, he was given the responsibility to oversee all the food supply. And famine hit the land for 7 years. And Joseph was handing out all the food to the peoples. And one day, he's looking out on the line and he sees his brothers. They didn't recognize him. They didn't expect to see him. Because last time they saw him, he was in the bottom of a pit. And then he'd gone to prison for years. But now he was in the palace. And the palace was the last place they expected to see him. And Joseph sees them. And after their various appeals for food, he finally lets them know who he is and that they have been forgiven by him. And he says that to them, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you did to me. And he says, I'll take care of you. Listen to what he says, these powerful words. He says in Genesis 50, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I want to say to every person in the room today, there's a lot of things in life that have been intended to harm you. But God has intended that the things that were intended to harm you were actually intended to do you good. To do you good and to help you become a better person and to help the unfolding of the plan that God has for your life. You know, when we stay in confidence, when we align with God, when we train our eyes to see the good and keep looking at the good, there's nothing, there's nobody, there's no one that can stop the blessing and the favor of God from coming into our lives. Nothing, nobody, no one can stop the blessing and the favor because God turns it for good. Secondly, we don't attract what we want, we attract what we are. You ever found that at a party? Like at a party, all the quiet people find the quiet people. All the loud people find the loud people. All the joke tellers find the joke tellers. All the dancers find the dancers. All the foodie people find the foodie people. You don't attract what you want. There's a lot of people wanting a lot of things in life that they will never have because we attract who we are. We attract who we are. For instance, if you're trouble-minded, guess what you're going to attract? Trouble. You'll see it everywhere. If you're thinking of trouble all the time and how bad the world is, then the world's just going to get badder and badder and badder and badder, and you'll attract trouble all the time because you're trouble-minded. If you're problem-minded, you'll see a problem in every possibility. In every possibility, there'll be a reason to say, no, I can't do it. I can't be it. I can't achieve that. I can't go there. If you're anger-minded, you'll find reasons to get angry when no one else is angry. It's according to what's in your mind, what's in your heart, and who we are. If you're poverty-minded, you'll attract lack and insufficiency, if that's all you ever think. You can be in poverty and yet extremely rich because of the way that you think and the way that you see things. But when you're favor-minded, you attract favor and you attract blessing into your life. Joseph, what I love about Joseph was, in all of the seasons and moments of his life, he remained favor-minded. He remained focused on the fact that God gave him a promise that he would lead, that God gave him a promise that he would have a future and that he would be blessed. He was raised to believe that. He was raised to believe he was favored and having dreams of being favored. But he was literally beaten, betrayed, sold by his brothers into slavery, had a season in the pit, a season in prison, but ultimately God got him to the place he needed to be, and that was in the palace ruling over all of Egypt. And the Bible says that even though Joseph was in prison, God granted him favor with the chief jailer. And so you might be in a dark place today. You might be in a difficult season right now, a challenging season, even feeling like you are a prisoner. You may feel overwhelmed, unnoticed. You may be wondering, like Joseph, how did my life end up here? How did my life end up in this space? Don't surrender your faith. Don't surrender your belief. Don't give up on your dream. Don't dumb down your expectation of good things. Stay confident that you will see God do good in your lifetime. You know, there is nothing that increases the favor of God in our lives like thinking and expecting favor to come and increase in our life. And we need to do that every day. Seeing God's goodness today, everyone say today, is key to experiencing more of God's favor in your future. Let's get back to where we started. Matthew 6:22. Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great will that darkness be?" So Jesus is saying you've got to let the right things in through your eyes, into your mind, into that area that processes and filters information, into the attitudes of the mind, like the Apostle Paul talks about, that need constant renewal, into our thoughts and thinking that need to be constantly filtered and washed by God's word. If we do that, if we allow ourselves to be prepared, to be retrained by God's word, to see the good, you're going to see a whole lot of good. You're going to see good, you're going to see blessing, and you're going to see favor. And the key is to see it and start seeing it today. You know, one of the best decisions you and I can make, and one of the best things we can determine to be, is that I am going to be a good finder. I am going to be a finder of good. I'm going to see good in people. I'm going to see good in everybody. I'm going to see good in my workplace. I'm going to see good in my relationships. I'm going to see good in my home, in my family. I'm going to see good in my community. I'm going to see good in our nation. I'm going to see good in the world. I'm going to be someone that looks for the good, talks about the good, notices the good, cheers on the good, thanks God for the good, promotes the good at every opportunity I have. Not everyone's like that. And if you're not like that today naturally, you're not a bad person. You just see things differently. You're not a bad person. You just see things differently. You're not loved any less by God. Let me tell you that, if you see things differently. But what you are possibly doing is you're stopping the things that God wants to bring into your life that would be a blessing. You're stopping because of the way you see things. You're stopping because of the attitudes and the paradigms and the understandings, the perspective that you have, because we've got to be really intentional about being good finders, being good seekers, looking for the good in people, looking for the good in life, looking for the good gifts of God. And so I need to make a decision today, and so do every one of us. And that decision is, I'm going to be a good finder in every season throughout my life, no matter what the season will be. I will remain confident that I will see the blessing and the goodness and the favor of God. And I need to do it because David says this. He said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Let me tell you how you lose heart. You lose heart when you stop believing that you'll see the good. You lose confidence. You lose your sight of the blessing and the favor of God when you start to take some hits. And you know, the enemy, he wants us not to see the good, not to notice the blessing, to become so familiar with the blessing that we don't even see it anymore. And sometimes it's a good thing just to stop yourself and count your blessings. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for these people in my world. Thank you for health. Thank you for a home to live in. Thank you for food to eat. Thank you for a job, a career, a business. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for faith. Thank you for favor. Thank you for blessing. Sometimes people are just totally blind to the extravagant nature of the goodness of God, of the goodness of God, that He is a good God and He always does good things. Jesus said this. He said, "I have come to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor. I have come to proclaim the time of the Lord's goodness." David said in Psalm 23, "Surely the goodness of the Lord will follow me all the days of my life." All the days of my life. I want to encourage you today to become a proclaimer of the goodness of God, no matter the season or the moment that you find yourself in. To retrain your reticular activator to always see the good, to always see the good, to magnify the good, and to promote the good in every sphere of your life, to look for the good in every situation and in every person and in every moment that you find yourself in. God is so good. He's so good to me. Is God good to you? Thank you, that one person. Is God good to you? Thank you. Is God good to you? God is good. He's always good to us. Count your blessings. Count them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Be a finder of good. Be a speaker of good. Be a magnifier of the good that God is doing in your life and in the lives of others. Come on, we're going to make a declaration of the goodness of God today as we sing the last song that we sang this morning in our worship moment about the goodness of God today. Why don't you lean in, make it your personal declaration about the goodness of God over you, over your world, over your family, over your home, over your heart, over your situation, over your circumstance today in Jesus' name. Today, Father, for people today that are in a season of life where it's hard, I pray today help them to focus on the good, to choose to see the good, to choose to say the good, and to live above the ugly, to live above the difficult, to live above the delicate and whatever's not working in their life today, because we believe that you are a good God and you never stop doing good things. And every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, in which there is no shadow of turning, God. We believe in your consistency today, God. So today our proclamation will be that I will see the good, I will say the good, I will expect the good, and I will believe for the good. Do good things for people. In Jesus' precious, powerful name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you very much for being with us today. Hospitality is open. Cafe is open for hospitality time. Enjoy some time meeting with people today. Have an amazing week. Thank you for being with us today. Goodbye to our online community. Great to have you on board with us this morning. Thank you.
But I'm grown now, and I'm like, praise the Lord, 'cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it. Woo! Oh, I told